If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to finish looking this morning at the Sermon on the Mount. If you're following along in the Bible, in the chair, page 685. Just want to take a moment and say thank you to Pastor Orrin for speaking for me last week when my wife and I had the opportunity to get away for a couple of days. Now, it's really interesting when you're the pastor and you're out of town, because you come back and somebody will say, you know what, I just loved Pastor Orrin when he was preaching. He had this marvelous sermon, and it was really, really good, and it really, really spoke to me. And then they realize they're talking to the preacher, and they're like, I wonder if that's okay to say. Absolutely. It's awesome. You know, God has blessed us with another young man who can speak and be used by him. And one of my pastors back many, many years ago, one of my professors in school used to say this to me. He said, when you pastor a church, sometimes people need to hear God's voice through other voice boxes.
Amen.
Not just always the same one, okay? So, and honestly, I've read the sermon that he was going to speak last week, and it spoke to me. I've got it included in my sermon this morning. So, Pastor Orrin, thank you so much for letting God use you last week. I really appreciate you more than you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
One of the things that is very fun about having adult children in your life is discovering things that they knew that they never told you. The, you know, things that were just common knowledge to them, but they never quite like tipped their hand. A couple years ago, I was talking with our kids, and just in passing, one of the girls said, you know, you just needed to know who to ask. And I'm like, what do you mean? Time out. You know, they laughed. And I'm like, what do you mean you just needed to know who to ask? Well, they're like, well, it's obvious. Didn't you know this? Didn't you know that? If you wanted to go somewhere, then you had to ask Dad, because he'll let you go anywhere you want to go. But if you wanted to buy something, don't ask Dad, because he won't buy you nothing. If you want to buy something, talk to Mom. If you want to go somewhere, talk to Dad. You just got to know who to ask. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. He's talking to us about prayer, and basically what he's saying to us is the same thing. He's saying to us, listen, you just got to know who to ask. You just got to know how to ask. When you talk to your Heavenly Father and you're asking Him for something that you need in your life, you just got to go about it in the right way. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, when you read that, some people want to use this as a blanket statement. You know, they think of God, and I've actually heard preachers preach this. All you got to do is pray and believe. God is the big slot machine in the sky. You just put your prayer in, and you pull the handle, and He is obligated on His word to give you everything that you ask for. He's got to do it. You ever heard anybody say that? Just turn on the TV late at night, and I promise you, you can find one. They're out there. Is that really, I mean, do you really think that that's what God is talking about here? You really think that's what Jesus is saying to us? That He's saying, you know what, He's just this big slot machine, and all you got to do is ask and believe enough. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying to us at all. So let's kind of unpack what He's saying to us here in this passage of Scripture about learning how to ask in a way that gets us, hopefully, the answer that God truly wants to give us in our life. The first thing I want to say to you is this. You got to pay attention to the context of what is being said here. If you just read the Bible and grab some verse somewhere, you can find a verse that will tell you anything you want to do. There's this old joke from preachers, and it goes something like this. There was a fellow that was considering jumping off of a bridge. And he was deciding, you know what, I just need to hear from God, and I need to know what it is that He says to me. So he grabs his Bible, and he opens it up, and he falls to that passage where Jesus looks at Judas, and He says, whatsoever you do, do it quickly. You've got to know what's going on in the passage that you're reading. And that's what I want to talk to you about here very quickly. First of all, Take a look at what comes immediately before Jesus says this. What is the Bible talking about? What does Jesus say? Right before he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. What is he talking about? Well, we're finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. This time, Jesus has gathered his disciples together, and he's beginning to lay out for them some of the expectations of being his followers, some of the expectations of being his disciples. And he's talked to us about a lot of hard things. He's talked to us about giving to the needy. He's talked to us about fasting. He's talked to us about storing up treasures in heaven. He's talked to us about don't worry, trust God. He's talked to us about judging others. And he's laid out for us an agenda here as a follower that's pretty doggone hard. The things that he has said to us, this is what it means to be my disciple. Remember when we started this study a couple weeks ago, I said, you know what, if you think you're going to live the Sermon on the Mount in your own strength, if you think you're just going to read it and go, I'm going to just grab my strength and energy and power and I'm going to live that way, you're destined for failure. You can't do this, all these things on your own. And so what Jesus is saying to us is this. You need some strength to forgive other people. You got some people in your life that are really hard to forgive. They have hurt you so deeply, so profoundly, sometimes over and over and over again, that the idea of forgiving them is just more than you can do. Where do you find the strength, the grace to forgive? Because that's what he told us to do. Well, ask, and it'll be given you. Seek the grace to forgive others. You'll find it. Knock and the door will be open. God will open the door and give you what you need. You see, that's the context of what is going on here. He's telling us, how do we do this life of being a Christian that is so hard? This standard that he's put out there for us that we read and we know it's the right thing to do, but when we try and get there, we just can't find the strength in our own ability to do that. Well, ask him and he'll give that to you. Look at what comes immediately before. Look at what comes immediately after. You know, we have all kinds of things that we want. Some of us don't think of God as the big slot machine in the sky. We think of God as Santa Claus. You know what? I'm just going to make my list and check it twice and give it to him, and he's going to give me every single thing that I want, every single thing that I desire. God, I'm going to ask you for what I want, but here's what Jesus says afterwards. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a snake? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? See, here's what he's saying to us. He's saying, listen, you may ask for something that you want, but it may not be what you need. Anybody here ever ask for something that they desperately, desperately wanted? Whenever I was younger, back in Bible college, I was dating a young woman by the name of Sharon Snap. I knew she was going to be my wife. There was only one person in the world that wasn't convinced of that. It was Sharon. She wouldn't have any part of it. I prayed, God. You know, Pete, what's that old country song? I saw Pete in here, so we're ready to go. There he is. What's that old country song? Sometimes the best ones are the unanswered prayers. Yeah. Yeah, unanswered prayer. Sometimes God says no. And see, what Jesus is saying to us is this, listen, I'm going to trust the wisdom of God when I'm praying and when I'm asking, that if I'm asking for something that is bad for me, that God's not going to give it to me. He's wiser than I am, and he can see further down the road than I can see, and I may be asking for something that isn't right. And so he's not going to be the father who gives us a snake, or when we're hungry, gives us a stone. And then you've got to understand what the rest of the Bible says. Not just what comes before it, what comes after it. But when you read the Bible, you have to read the entire thing. You have to get the context of what is going on in the whole Bible. Get the balance of what is there. There are six things, at least, and there's probably a couple more. I didn't take time to search out every single one in the entire Bible. But there's six things that I know off the top of my head that I will say to you, these will short-circuit your prayer. These are the kinds of things that they will put a hindrance in your prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3 says this. If I am asking with the wrong motive, to be selfish and self-indulgent, then God is not going to answer my prayer. Here's what it says. It says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. What was the lotto like, you know, a couple months ago, $700, $800 million? I'm like, yes, Jesus, I need that. And he's like, no, Dennis, you don't. And it would have helped if I would have bought a ticket, but oh well, didn't get one of those. You know what? Sometimes we ask for things because we have a selfish, self-indulgent motive to spend it on, and he's not just talking about financial things. But we ask with the wrong motive. Sometimes we short-circuit our prayers because we cherish and hold on to sin. Psalm 66, verse 16 says this, that if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if I've got one of those things in my life that I'm just holding on to and refusing to let go, God's not hearing my prayer. Because He's going to get rid of that before He's listening to what I'm saying. We need to be walking in obedience to Him. 1 John chapter 3 says this. It says, we receive from Him anything we ask. Now listen, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. It's the flip side of the previous one. The previous one says, I'm holding on to sin in my life. This one says, listen, I'm walking in obedience to Him. I'm listening to what it is that God wants me to do and how He wants me to live. And if I'm not doing that, He's not listening to all these other things that I'm putting out there in front of Him that I say that I need. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, we have to ask according to His will. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I talked to you about Sharon Snap. I was convinced that she was the right one. She was a pastor's daughter. She played the piano. She was a church secretary at the church I was going to. What more could the guy want that was going into ministry? But God didn't see fit to make that happen. And He gave me the wife that I have. I'm not sure it's going to last. It's only been 40 years. Okay? The jury is still out. You know, sooner or later, she may come to her senses. And if she does, then, you know, it's all done. She ever wakes up one morning and goes, oh, who are you? What was I thinking? I understand. But we have to pray in keeping with God's will. I could not have asked for a better wife than the one that He picked for me, than the one that I picked for me. Proverbs 21:13. Listen, I love this one. When you're not listening to the needs of the poor, listen, God ain't listening to you. Listen to this verse. I love this one. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. That's an important piece of little information to hold on to, isn't it? And then one more very quickly. Ladies, cover your ears. Husbands, this one's just for you. Husbands, treat your wife well. Because if you don't, it will hinder your prayers. Listen, 1 Peter says it this way. Treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Sometimes God's not listening to you guys because you're not listening to your wife. You're not treating her well. You're not treating her with respect. You're not honoring her. And if you do those things, then it pulls that hindrance out of your prayer life. So as you can see, this isn't some blank check that God has given us. When you read the entirety of Scripture, it's not a matter of just praying and ask whatever you want and pull a handle in the sky and God's going to give you everything that you ask for. There are a lot of ways that we can short-circuit our prayer life. Maybe as I was going through those this morning and going through them very quickly, one of them just tweaked you. Maybe there was something that just went right into the heart. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? This one is for you. This is an area that I need you to work on. He's saying this is an area that you need to pay attention to. This is an area that you need to make sure that you're dealing with. Because otherwise, you're going to short-circuit your prayer. We were here yesterday afternoon after the egg hunt. And we had a small funeral service for the Suhars, for the April Suhars' mother. And it was, I'm not exaggerating, it is 4:29. And I'm standing here in the foyer. The funeral service is supposed to start at 4:30. And I see the BG&E guy walking across the parking lot with his hard hat under his arm. And I look across the street. There's like five trucks over there. I'm like, this is not going to go well. And he walks in and he says, what's going on in here? I said, the funeral service? He said, when? I looked at the clock and I went, now? He's like, well, I was just getting ready to pull the power. I said, can we wait? So he was so gracious to do that. He waited almost an hour for us to do what we needed to do before they disconnected the power. But you know, that's what happens to us sometimes. There's no power in our prayer life? Because we have pulled the plug. And we pull the plug when we pray with the wrong motive, when we're holding on to sin, when we're not walking in obedience, we're not asking according to His will, when we're not listening to the needs of the poor, or not treating our spouse well. It's just like what happened. We were sitting in there having our little reception, and the next thing we know, the lights went out. Gone. And that's what happens in our prayer life sometimes. This morning you hear the Spirit of God saying to you, as I go through those very quickly, that there's an issue for one or more of those for you, then that's what a time of invitation at the end of the service is all about. It's an opportunity for you to come and kneel and say, God, there's an area here that I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. This is something that I need to address. Secondly, I want you to notice the importance of the language of what Jesus is teaching us here. Just like when my girl said, hey, you just need to know how to ask right. You just need to know the right person. That's what we need to know about prayer. We need to know how to ask correctly when we're praying and asking God for something. Now, there are a couple of things that show up in the original language here that are very, very important to notice. The first thing I want to say to you is this. When you look at the language, our prayer is to be ongoing. They have a way of writing with some of the verbs that they use in the original language that is very, very clear. And it's a present tense verb. And here's what it means. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. It is a regular, consistent thing. It's not a one and off kind of deal. I'm going to ask one time, then I'm going to turn around and walk away. I don't know why God has designed prayer this way. But He has intended for us to pray regularly and consistently. To keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The second thing is supposed to be very intense. It's very intensive. These are imperatives. It's like when you say, would you shut the door? Or, shut the door! There's a difference. It's a command. It's an imperative. This is something that we are supposed to be doing. It's not just a quiet discussion. It's to be persistent. A knocking that is going on, different ways of knocking. You ever watch one of those TV shows and it's one of those real cop shows? You ever watched a policeman knock on a door when he's there for business? He doesn't knock the way that I knock. I walk up and I knock on the door. I do this. When a policeman is there for business or a policewoman is there for business, and he comes in, he knocks on the door, he's like, right? You can hear the difference. And when Jesus says ask and seek and knock, that's what He's saying to us. That's the language that He uses. It's a knocking that is insistent and persistent, and it's a command kind of thing. Now, we're not commanding God what to do, but it's kind of like, you know, some of you got them, and I remember what it was like whenever I had 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, and they come in, they're like, Mommy, 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 Mommy! And it just keeps going and going and going, and it gets more and more and more intense, right? That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's sometimes annoying to us, but it never is to God. That's the way He wants us to pray. Regularly, persistently, intensively. It's the exact idea that Jesus is communicating to us. The third thing I want you to notice here is that there are different ways that Jesus talks about praying. Now, for many of us, prayer is prayer. And I get that, and I'm not taking anything away from it. I have a book in my office that talks about 28 different kinds of prayer. Before I bought the book, I did not know that 28 different kinds of prayer existed, honestly. But as I read the book, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But here's what we're saying. There's nothing wrong with simply talking to God. A simple prayer is what God wants from us. But the more mature you get, the more you read and understand the Bible, the more you walk with God, you begin to understand that there are different kinds of prayer. I want you to think about it this way. A knife is a knife is a knife, right? You use a knife to cut things. But there's different kinds of knives. You ever tried to use a butter knife to slice a tomato? You only want to do that once, right? Because you end up with tomato puree. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work very well. You ever try to use a steak knife to cut bread? Doesn't work very well. When I discovered a bread knife, did they make such a thing as a bread knife that actually cut bread? And when you got done, your bread wasn't like this little hard ball, but which it was like, wow, who knew? Who knew? I'm a fisherman. And I watched guys, I mean, these like a mate on a boat. I watched them fillet fish, you know, these fish that we caught. And I'm like, whoa. I asked him one time, what was the name of the mate that we used to fish with all the time? Was it Albert Charlie? What was his name? Remember the guy that fished with us? And he used to do all the filleting for us. And I asked him one time, I'm like, how do you do that? He's like, you got to have the right knife. You get the right knife. And you want to? It's amazing. Listen, you can probably fillet a fish with a butter knife. Wouldn't recommend it. Not going to go well. But what Jesus is saying to us is, listen, use the right kind of prayer when you're talking to God. And he talks about three different kinds of prayer. He says, ask. Ask. It means to ask something strongly or intensively, to request something that you need, something that you crave, or something that you desire. And in this immediate context, as I said, he's probably talking about the grace and the strength to live out the Sermon on the Mount. Here you can think about this idea of when you ask God, be very specific about what you need and what you desire. It's not just throwing out an, oh God, please, I need help prayer. Nothing wrong with that. I prayed a lot of those prayers. But there are times when you need to be very specific and very, very intense and very focused on what it is that God, I'm asking you to do. Not, God, I need you to provide what I need for my family, but God, I need the money for my mortgage this month. I don't have that. God, I need that. I need the funds to pay for the groceries this week because I don't have that. God, I need you to step in and give me the grace in my heart to forgive my neighbor who has, for the 14th time, blown their leaves into my yard. My neighbor prays that all the time. I promise you he does. I promise you he does. Landscaping is not my strong point. Ask, he says, and it will be given to you. It will be bestowed or handed over. Second one he talks about is seeking. It means to search for something that is unseen, something that is hidden, or something that is missing. And here is where our personal and responsibility and action comes in. You see, we ask God clearly and specifically for what we need, but then we are supposed to be seeking. It means that we do something, moving in the right direction of having that prayer answered. I'm praying, God, would you provide for me the mortgage that I need? Oh, I can pray that while I'm lying in bed and roll back over and go back to sleep. Or I can pray that as I'm preparing to get ready to go to work while I'm looking for a job. You see the difference? One of them is I'm just going to just throw up my hands and go, okay, God, I need help. And there are times in our life, listen, when only God can help. I was talking with someone a couple of weeks ago about a business situation that they had going on in their business. And they're like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do. And it was back when we were talking about prayer earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. And I was talking with them on the phone. I said, you know what? Here's what we're going to pray. Here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God will do what only God can do. And they went, oh, if he doesn't, we're in trouble. Well, a week and a half later, guess what happened? God moved, doing what only he can do. So there are times in our life when we just throw up our hands and we go, you know what, God? I have fulfilled my personal responsibility. I have walked in obedience. I have done all the things that I'm supposed to do. I don't know what else to do, God. I'm going to ask you to do what only you can do. Here's what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, you will seek me and find me, and you seek me with all your heart. So we're to ask and be specific. We're to bear our personal responsibility and do the things that we should be doing. Then we're to knock. And it means that persistent knocking with diligence and with earnestness. Listen to what Paul said about prayer over in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. It's the same kind of language as is what Jesus was talking about over there. It is that persistent, present, imperative language. It's a verb that says, keep on praying and don't stop. Jesus told us the parable of the persistent neighbor. You remember it. It's the man who was already in bed asleep at night, and the neighbor came over and said, listen, we have some unexpected guests come. Will you get up and give me some bread? And the fellow's like, look, man, I'm already in bed. My kids are already in bed. And Jesus said, he will get up if you keep on knocking, keep on asking. And he uses that as a parable to talk to us about asking God regularly, consistently, persistently to move in our life. Linsky, who is one of the guys that I read on a regular basis, he's a great linguist. He said this. He said, we ask for what we need. We seek what we earnestly desire. And we knock when our desire becomes persistent or insistent. When we just can't get away from it. Final thing I want to notice here with you this morning is the confidence that we have when we pray. Jesus finishes his instruction on prayer by reminding us of the character of the God that we serve and the one that we call Father. And he gives us this beautiful illustration. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask them? See, there's a couple of things that Jesus is saying to us here. Number one, we have a loving Heavenly Father. We have a Father who loves us, who cares for us, who is always there with us, who is paying attention to what is going on in our life. Secondly, He loves you deeply and He loves you completely. Look at this. If you, being good, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? He desires only the best for you. If God withholds the answer to your prayer, listen, I have learned this by hard and long experience. When God withholds the answer to your prayer, it's because you're asking Him for something that is not good for you, or because you have done something in your life to short-circuit His answer. And a lot of times it's me. The problem isn't God. A lot of times it's my heart. It just isn't where it needs to be. Or I'm asking for something. I'm like the little kid in the grocery store going, I want some more Fruit Loops. I want some more of the Frosted Flakes. And you're going, no, I think we're going to stop over by the veggie aisle. They don't want any veggies. They want Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes. And they ask insistently for them, don't they? That's why we don't take them to the grocery store with us. And that's the way we are with God sometimes. Sometimes we're asking Him for something that is not what we need. It's not good for us at all. You ever follow any of those TV shows and watch what happens in the lives of the people who actually win the lotto and get like $300 million? Have you ever seen one of those shows that talks about how many of their lives and their families are destroyed by this thing that we think we all desperately want? But you look at them a year or two or three down the road and it has just utterly devastated them. Sometimes we're asking God for something that we don't need, that's not good for us. He only gives us what we need. And He will never give us something that is harmful. So here's the question for you this morning. When you pray, because I know you do, like 80-90% of the people in the United States pray. Most people pray. Now, we pray in different ways, and that's okay. So when you pray, how do you pray? What do you ask God for? Are you praying with confidence and assurance that your Heavenly Father hears your need? He's already at work to meet your need, even when you don't see it? As I thought about closing the message this morning, I was thinking, what is it that we're all praying for? And I went back to Pastor Oren's sermon last week. You know, most of us are all praying for someone that needs to know Jesus, right? I mean, you got the little insert from last week. It was awesome. Can I tell you something? Like I said, he gives me this, close your ears. He gives me a sermon so I can read over it before, like I'm going to help. He's a great preacher, he doesn't need my help. And I was reading this sermon this like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And there's this point in there. I've been doing this a long time. Right? I've been like a pastor for 32, 3, 4 years, 30-some here and 3 or 4 at the other place, and Bible college for 5 or 6 years. I read a lot of books. I listened to a lot of people. You know, it's kind of hard to find something I haven't heard before. I'm reading through a sermon and I'm like, whoa, his point in there. In his sermon last week, if you didn't hear it, you should go get it. Where he said, what is the older brother's real problem? What was his first mistake? You remember that one, Stephen? And he said, what is his first mistake? He went, his first mistake was not loving his younger brother enough to go look for him. I've been doing this 30-some years. I never heard that before. Maybe you have. I haven't. I was so convicted by that. It was so important to me. And I went, wow, what a great message. And you probably, like I, have some people in your life that you're praying for. You have some younger brothers, right? You have some people, maybe they're a neighbor, maybe they're a friend, maybe they're a relative, maybe they're a parent or a child. But someone who has gone off into a far land. And they're not listening to God at all. And he gave you this little sheet and he said, pray for them. You know what? I'm going to steal some of his thunder and I'm going to say, pray for them. Let's go back. And if you don't have that, I included another one in your book this week, and in your bulletin this week. Find that person. Pray this way. Ask him, God. Seeking. Doing what you can do. Maybe this card is for that person. Maybe when you walked in this morning and you looked at the chair, you're like, what did they put on the chair this morning? And you picked up the chair, your card, and you looked at it and you went, oh, I should give that too. You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. He's saying, he's already put a name on this for you. He knows exactly who you need to invite. Maybe you've invited him 100 times before. That's okay. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking God to work in their life. Pray specifically and ask him for what you need, what you want, what you desire. God, would you help them this time to accept the invitation and to actually come for the Good Friday service or to actually come for Easter Sunday morning? I found this quote, and I'll close with this, as I was reading this past week. A fellow by the name of R.A. Torrey, you probably won't know him. He wrote a book in 1955, his old book. We do not live in a praying age. We live in an age of hustle and bustle, of man's efforts and man's determination, of man's confidence in himself and in his own power to achieve things. An age of human organization, human machinery, human push, human scheming, human achievement, which in the things of God means no real achievement at all. What we need is not so much some new organization, some new will, but the Spirit of God in wills we already possess.
Amen.
What we need is to pray and ask God to do what only God can do.
Amen.
The reason that I have R.A. Torrey on my shelf is because he's a man that understands what it is to be a part of the family of God. And he knows and understands the heart of God. So this week, find that person, let me get them right, that you need to reach out to. Or maybe this morning you're like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know. I don't see. I don't know who I should go to. Here's what you do. Take that card, put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, and pray. God, you show me who I need to invite. And you just walk the rest of this week, because here's the reality. The reality is that there's someone out there, maybe in another church, maybe in another state, maybe in another country, praying, God, will you send someone to my son? Will you send someone to my daughter? Will you send someone to my mom, to my dad, to my best friend from college? God, I can't be there. I can't ask them. I can't invite them. But God, will you send someone to them to let them know how much you love them? You might be the answer to that prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the power of prayer. that when we pray, you listen. And if when we looked at some of those things that short-circuit our prayers, God, we discover that the reason that there's no answer is because of the way that we're living. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us to get that right here in this next few moments. And Lord, I know that there are some parents and there are some children, there are some friends here who have asked 100 times before. And the answer has always been no. So God, I'm going to ask this morning that they not give up, that they continue to pray. They continue to ask, they continue to seek, they continue to knock. God, there are some things that only you can do. So we give those people in our life to you. And God, I know that there are some situations, perhaps health this morning, or finances this morning, or relational issues this morning that seem hopeless. God, I pray that we'll not give up, that we'll not surrender, that we'll not quit, that one more time we'll ask you to move in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.